If you would, let's pray before we begin. God, we're thankful we can be here tonight. We're thankful for the health that enables us to come together. We're thankful for your word that is a path to our life. Father, help us to walk in the light of that word every day. Help us to rightly divide it tonight and hopefully to benefit from our study together. Father, we pray for all those that are sick and struggling, Father, many, many people with this virus still, and we pray for them, Father, that your healing hand will be upon them, and Father, someday soon, that this thing can go away and we can live our lives in the way that we would want to again. Father, we're just thankful for all things. Just bless us in everything that we do. In Christ's name, amen. Good to be with you tonight. I wanted to have a little bit more slack. All right. They got me a new clicker. Here we go. I'll figure it out in a minute. We started this study, I don't know, 6 weeks ago probably. And I welcome feedback. When Don's not here, this is something I chose to do. If you guys like it, that's great. If you don't like it, tell me. We'll do something different. It really doesn't matter to me. Just trying to do things that would hopefully get us to thinking and benefit our study together. We started talking about biblical typology, and I know not everyone has been here for this, but if you look up the word, it is something in the New Testament that corresponds to something in the Old Testament. If you want the simple definition for it, we said as we looked that through our Bibles we would see words such as these, the figure, the like figure, the copy of something in the Old Testament, the shadow, the pattern, the image, type or anti-type. And maybe you have seen some of those words in your Bible, and maybe you've not really thought much about it. But there's so many things as we go through our Bible that would help us to better understand things. When we study the New Testament, we're not going to get the full picture unless we can understand those things from the Old Testament. That's just the way it works. And it all has to tie together, the Bible does. Now, just a quick review. Like I said, I know it's been several weeks. The first one we did was, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. And we said that was the type of what? I'm putting you guys on the spot. That was the type of what? Type of Christ, right? 2 Corinthians 4:6, God who calls light to shine out of darkness, He sent this light into our life. And that is indeed Jesus. We said the first man was Adam. The second man was Christ, right? The first man brought death, the second man brought life. We've talked about all of those things. We said the Garden of Eden was a type of heaven. When we go to Revelation 22, it explains what it was like at the beginning of the Bible. So again, types and anti-types. We talked about the first man, Adam and Eve. The first marriage was a type of Christ in the church, and we looked at so many comparisons. We talked about the flood and the ark, and all of those things were a type, and the church and baptism today is an anti-type. We talked about a lot of different things. Tonight we're going to move on through and hopefully get through the book of Genesis tonight. We're going to talk mainly about Jacob and mostly about Joseph. I'm going to talk a little bit about Jacob and mostly about Joseph. When we think about Jacob is the son of whom? Isaac. Jacob had a twin brother, Esau, and you can go through that whole story, and Esau was born first, and Jacob was a deceiver, and again, we know that whole story. But as we go through, I just picked out just a few things. As we go through and we get to Genesis chapter 28, I want us to read just a little bit, and I want us to see a picture of Jesus here in Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, and he tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones that was of that place, and he put them for his pillows. And he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, And he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring again thee into this land, and I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. There was a ladder set up, and on that ladder you got these angels going all the way up and then all the way down. And at the top of that ladder you got God, the Father. He's standing at the top of that ladder, and he's looking down. And what would this represent? I'm going to let you guys talk tonight. I don't want to do all the talking. What would the ladder represent? Why were the angels going to and fro? What was their purpose? What's God telling Jacob? That you guys are all asleep? Somebody knows. What is he doing? He told us what he was doing at the latter part of what I read. He says, I'm going to be with you, right? He says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to walk with you every step of the way, and things that you need are going to be there for you, and your petitions that you offer, they're going to come up to me, and I'm going to providentially care for you, Jacob. I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to bridge the gap between heaven and earth for you and your descendants. I'm going to raise up a nation and a seed, and that seed is going to be Christ through you. I'm going to do all of those things for you. And you say, well, so what? Well, when you get to the New Testament and you read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says there is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ. What does Christ do for us? We said the ladder bridged the gap between heaven and earth. What does Christ do for us? All you got to say is the same, right? He does the exact same thing for us. He is the go-between between the Father, who is standing at the top of the ladder looking down. He is the go-between between all of that. In fact, in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 43, Nathanael is going to be brought to Christ. And Nathanael comes to Jesus, and he has faith in Jesus, and Jesus brags on him. He says, that's great. And in verse 51, Jesus says the same thing that was said in Genesis chapter 28. And he speaks about a ladder and the angels ascending and descending upon it. Jesus says, I am that ladder in essence. I am the one that bridges the gap. How do we get to the Father today? John 14, verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. If you want to get access to what's above, you've got to go through Jesus. How do we gain access, again, to what's above? Jesus brought that down, right? And he brought that salvation down, and he offered it to us, and he bridges that gap. When we sin, Isaiah 59, verse 2, there's a separation between us and God. And we've got to have something that makes up that gap. And Jesus Christ is indeed the antitype to Jacob's ladder. He is what we need to see when we're reading Genesis chapter 28. You know, I thought about this on the way to church. You realize God only revealed just a very small part of what happened the first 2,500 years of our existence on this earth in the book of Genesis. There's 50 chapters. That's not much. You've got 2,500 years of history wrapped up in your book of Genesis. God chose very specific things for a very specific purpose. These are one of those things. And all of these things that we talk about, I want you to understand that God chose to reveal that because there's a deeper meaning in it a lot of times. And sometimes we just take things at face value and we don't bother to dig in and try to pull things out that God would have us to see. And maybe sometimes that's a problem. And again, that's what the purpose of these lessons is to challenge us to dig a little deeper. One more thing on Jacob, and we'll move on. You ever thought about Jacob's servitude? Jacob met a girl who was the one that he loved. Rachel, right? He met a girl named Rachel, and he longed to have Rachel. Well, he goes to Laban, and he says, I want to marry your daughter. And Laban says, nah, can't do that, right? She's got an older sister. So Laban tricks him, and he marries the older sister, but he loves Rachel. He wants Rachel to be his bride, and Jacob, he hatches a plan. Laban, I'll serve you for how many years? 7 years. I want that bride, and I am willing to serve for that bride. Well, in this story, he serves for 7 years, and he still doesn't get it, and he has to go back and serve for another 7 years, and then he gains that bride. But the point being, Jacob had to serve for his bride. Jacob was willing to serve for his bride. Do you realize Jesus Christ is the same way? He came and not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. He came not to have someone to wait on him and to serve him, but he came and became a servant for his bride. And you and I are part of his bride. And I want us to see the servitude of Jacob. God didn't reveal that unto us just to have a good story to tell. Hey, this guy's crazy. He worked 14 years for a woman. That's not the purpose. The purpose was to get us to see the deeper meaning. And the deeper meaning is, if you love something, you'll work for it. And you'll be willing to serve for it. And Jesus loved his church. And he was willing to be a servant for his church. What about the 12 sons of Jacob? If I ask you what the number 12 represents in your Bible, what would you tell me? You're going to have to speak up. I still can't hear anybody. I'm going to have to get a microphone and pass it around or something. If you ask me what the number 12 represented, I would say organized religion. Organized religion. And I would say that because everything in the Old Testament goes back to what? The 12 patriarchs, right? 12 tribes of Israel. As you read throughout that Old Testament, you got those 12 tribes, 12 tribes, 12 tribes. They would be a type of what is talked about in the New Testament, right? Everything in the New Testament is based upon what? The 12 apostles. When the church was established, they continued steadfastly in what those 12 apostles taught, right? In the Apostles' Doctrine, Acts 2, verse 42. When you get to the end of the Bible and you see in Revelation heaven, how many foundation stones does it have? 12, right? Why? Because organized religion is the foundation of what God has for us. And we need to be able to see that as we're reading through and we're trying to study. And this is just an idea. Is this absolutely correct? This is my opinion of it. When you get to the book of Revelation and you got all these people talking about 144,000 people are going to go to heaven, and the way I've felt about this for years is, if 12 represents organized religion in the Old Testament and 12 represents organized religion in the New Testament, and the number 1,000, 1 Peter 3:8, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day, what does that mean? God owns all time. In Psalm 50, verse 10, God owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. Does God own all the cattle on all the hills? It's his ultimate complete number, and there's many more scriptures. And you take everybody in the Old Testament times everybody in the New Testament, and you multiply that times completeness, you get 144,000 people. Is everybody going to be in heaven that's supposed to be in heaven? Could that be possible? My opinion. If what God's trying to get us to see, maybe. Everybody's going to be there that's supposed to be there. Everybody from the Old Testament, everybody from the New Testament. You see, all of these things that we look at, maybe they've got a bigger picture. We're going to spend the rest of our time tonight talking about Joseph. Out of everybody that you're going to read about in the Old Testament, perhaps Joseph is more of a type of Christ than anybody else. I want you to open your Bible to Genesis chapter 37, and we'll do a little bit of reading tonight. I thought about just kind of paraphrasing this, But my wife gets on to me sometimes, and she says, you just assume everybody knows the story, but sometimes everybody doesn't know the story. And that is definitely true. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 37, and let's all get on board together. I need to do like Don and get me a reader. I won't have to read then. All right, Genesis 37. It says, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpha, and his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and they could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream. And he told it to his brethren, and he said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance unto me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him. And he said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren and indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said, here I am. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man says, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and he said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him again to his father. And it came to pass, when Joseph was coming to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him, and they cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes, and they looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted out Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. If I read all of this, we'll be here all night. We'll stop just for a moment. But I want us to just look at some of the similarities. And I've got four slides of these that I've got down. In Genesis 37, verse 3, the Bible says Joseph was loved by his father. That one's kind of obvious, right? Was Jesus loved by his father? Matthew chapter 3, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. When Jesus come up out of the waters of baptism, Father loved Jesus, the Father loved Joseph. Joseph was a shepherd, right? He was in charge of keeping his father's sheep. Who's in charge of keeping our father's sheep? That's Jesus, right? We studied that in the book of John. He talked about it on many occasions. Joseph was prophesied to be a ruler. God revealed a dream unto him that all of these sheaves were bowing down unto him. The sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to him. He was prophesied to be a ruler. What about Jesus? Over and over again, right? All the way from Genesis 3:15, all the way through the Old Testament, Jesus is prophesied to be a ruler. Joseph's brothers hated him, and they didn't believe him. The Bible says it just made them angry, and they wanted nothing to do with him. What about Jesus? Same, right? Same. Jesus was a Jew, born of the tribe of Judah. Go back to those 12 patriarchs. That's where everything goes back to. And his brothers hated him. Even his own brothers of his own house, born of his mother, did not believe him. For a time, they finally came around. These guys, we're going to see in a little bit, and you know the end of the story. They finally came around, but they didn't believe him, and they hated him. They rejected his right to rule, his brothers did. His brothers, they heard the dreams, and the father didn't reject that. The Bible says Jacob, he kept it in his mind. But his brothers rejected that. Who are you? Do you think we're going to literally bow down to you? You don't have a right to rule over us. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. But most people rejected his right to rule. And he had that right given unto him by his father. But he still rejected it. He was sent by his father to his brothers. Jacob is the one that called and says, Joseph, I want you to go to your brothers. And I want you to help your brothers. I want you to do this. Why? Who sent Jesus? Father, right? I'm going to send you down to your Jewish brothers. That was Jesus' job. That's what he came to do. Just like Joseph. Well, when Joseph came, the brothers conspired against him, didn't they? They saw him coming way off, and they said, there's that dreamer. There's that dreamer, and you know, he's got that coat of many colors because the father loves him, and they're hatching a plan. Same thing happened to Jesus, beginning about John chapter 5. When Jesus healed the man by the pool of Bethsaida, that kind of began things that people just, they decided they were going to hatch a plan. They were going to take counsel against him. The Bible talks about that many times. They took counsel against him. They're conspiring. They're trying to hatch up something evil they can do. Joseph had his garments stripped. And I understand this happened to Jesus much later, but the same thing happened, right? They stripped Joseph of his garments. They stripped Jesus of his garments. Joseph was sold as a slave for silver. He's in the pit. We can go ahead and do the last one. He was cast into the pit. Joseph was, but he was delivered. He was in the pit, but he was brought back out of the pit. Jesus was in the grave, but he was brought back out. But Joseph was sold as a slave for silver. Now, Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver, but he was sold as a slave. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, which at the time was what? The price of a slave. Many years later, slaves worth a little more. But he was sold as a slave for silver. The Lord prospered him, though. If you go to Genesis 39, and we don't have time to read the whole thing, but in Genesis chapter 39, those Ishmaelite traders, they bring him, and he winds up at Potiphar's house, and we'll kind of paraphrase the story. He's at Potiphar's house, and he goes in, and God is with him, and everything that he does goes well, and God has blessed him and been exceedingly good to him. So Potiphar puts him in charge of his house. And Potiphar puts him in charge of everything that he has. And the only thing that's restrained from him is Potiphar's wife. And the only one above him is Potiphar himself. So Joseph is doing great. And he was sold as a slave, but now he's doing well, and things are going well. But Potiphar's wife has eyes for him. And Joseph is a young man. He's 17, 18 years old at the time. And Potiphar's wife continues to make advances towards him, and Joseph rejects those advances. And he continues to reject those advances, and he tells her, I can't sin against my God. I can't do this. So one day, Joseph is in the house, and Potiphar's wife comes through, and she grabs him by the arm, and she tries to seduce him again, and he says no. But this time, she grabs his coat. And Joseph is wanting to get away so bad, he runs out of his coat, and he leaves the house, and she's rejected, so she's angry. And she goes and she conspires against him again, just like his brothers did. And she tells the servants and the guards, hey, this guy, that this Hebrew you brought in amongst us, he tried to rape me. And I screamed and yelled, and he left. And here's his coat, and here's the proof. And Potiphar comes in, and he's very, very upset. And he doesn't even question him. He just takes her word for it, and he throws him into prison. In a nutshell, that's chapter 39. What about the similarities? The Lord prospered Joseph. We said that, right? The Lord prospered everything that Joseph did, and Joseph did it well. Did the Lord prosper Jesus? The Bible tells us that God was always with him, and God helped him through everything that he did, and everything that he did it well. And he did it well, and Jesus would even tell you, because his Father was with him. All things were put into Joseph's trust. When he got into Potiphar's house, Potiphar says, I'm going to put you over everything. I'm going to give you all authority save for me. What about Jesus? Wasn't the same thing done for him? All authority save the Father was given unto Jesus? The Bible tells us that. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us all things were put under him, but the Father is an exception to the rule. He's not put under Jesus. Everything was put under Joseph, but Potiphar was an exception to the rule himself. So all things were put under his trust. You know, there's something very unique about Joseph. Look at the third one there. Joseph was tempted without sin. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that Joseph never sinned, because the Bible says all have sinned except Jesus Christ. But I want to ask you, is there anybody in this room can show me a biblical example where Joseph sinned? You're not going to find that. You're not going to find that. And you're not going to find that about much of anybody else. Maybe a handful. And I'm sure Joseph did things wrong because he was human. But he was tempted. He was tempted and put in a position that most people would have faltered at, but he did not falter. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, Hebrews 4:15, yet without sin. False witness. Potiphar's wife brought false witness against Joseph, and she accused him of things that he did not do. And didn't the same thing happen to Jesus? When he was on trial, weren't there false witnesses that was brought forth, and they were testifying of things that were not true? Was not Joseph's judgment taken away when Potiphar didn't even bother to hear his side of the story? He just put him in the prison anyways. Doesn't Isaiah 53 say Jesus' judgment was taken away? Nobody bothered to worry about what he thought or what he did. It didn't matter. They had conspired and hatched a plan, and that plan was carried forth, and it didn't matter. Same with Joseph. But you know, the Lord was with Joseph during his punishment. The Lord was with him. He gets thrown into prison, and the first thing that happens is what? He's in charge of the prison now. The Lord was with Jesus through all of everything that he went through. All of his grief and his sorrow and his suffering. Quickly, our time is about up. You realize when Joseph was in that prison, he was condemned with two criminals. Jesus was on the cross with how many criminals? Two. When Joseph was in that prison, and maybe you remember the baker and the butler, and they both had a dream, and Joseph interpreted those dreams, and one of them was going to be spared, right? And the other was going to be beheaded. When Jesus was on the cross with those two criminals, one of them was spared, and one of them was condemned. It's amazing the similarities that God chose to reveal. Joseph is the one that declared when the guy finally got out of prison. I always forget which one it was, the baker or the butler. I get them confused. And he told Pharaoh that he interpreted his dream. And Pharaoh had this dream of the 7 years of famine and 7 years of plenty. And Joseph interpreted that dream and declared what was needed to save. He told Pharaoh exactly what they had to do in order to be saved. Who's the one that told us exactly what we needed to do to be saved? That's Jesus. You realize the leader was well pleased with him. Pharaoh was well pleased with Joseph. Jesus, God was well pleased with Jesus for doing the exact same thing. The leader, Pharaoh, said everyone would bow their knee to Joseph. Didn't the Father say the same thing about Jesus? Every knee will bow, every tongue shall confess. Same thing. You realize Genesis 41 verse 46 says Joseph was 30 years old when Pharaoh put him in that position to provide the salvation for the people. How old was Jesus when he began his ministry? 30 years old, right? You realize that Pharaoh, or the leader of the time, appointed him as the sole source of life? Joseph was put in a position that people are going to live or die based upon what he did. You realize Jesus is in that exact same position, even yet today? Last one, I know our time's up. Do you realize, according to Joseph himself, his suffering was planned to save many? He said, talking to his brothers, you guys meant it for evil. God meant it for good. God had set this whole thing in motion. What about with Jesus? Was his suffering planned to save many? Yeah, before the foundation of the world, God knew it was going to happen. Everything was set in place. Do you realize when Joseph's brothers come to Egypt and they come in, that they don't even recognize that who he is? They don't even recognize him as being the one that they sent away and the one that they needed the most. Do you realize when Jesus was come to earth, his own relatives didn't even realize who he was? They didn't recognize him as the Messiah, even though they'd been looking for him for years and years and years, 1,500 years through the law of Moses. And he come and did exactly everything that was said to be done. He was born in the right place. Everything happened perfect. But they didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize him. Do you realize these next two go together? And I guess I shouldn't have put both of them, but do you realize Joseph offered forgiveness to the people that hated him and in turn saved the people that hated him? His brothers hated him, ridiculed him, sold him into slavery, but he offered to forgive them. And he provided them the food, things that they need to be saved. You realize his brothers later repented, just like in the story of Jesus, Acts chapter 2. Peter says, you have taken by lawless hands and crucified the Son of God. And what do? They want to repent. Last one, the brothers share the favor of Pharaoh because of Joseph. Those 11 other patriarchs got to come and live in Egypt because of Joseph. They were blessed because of Joseph. You and I are blessed because of Jesus. That's the only way we're blessed. I appreciate your attention.